Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Fourth and final hour here on this Thursday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Let's head down to Jacksonville. Let's check in with Tony Smith, 1010 XL down there. Tony, how the heck are you?
Doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me on today.
Are they giving you guys paychecks this week, or because of, you guys, you're not really having to work this week, really, are you?
Yeah, we're still getting paid this
okay,
week.
Okay, good.
We should probably be getting paid overtime, honestly. We're having to do, but yeah, it's been interesting, to say the least, in Jacksonville this week.
I have to have you paint the picture for radio, because we've all been in this position. I mean, Pac-Man Jones was here in this market. I mean, we've had, every market, you do this long enough, you're going to have stuff where you go, oh my gosh, why is my phone blowing up? Just give us and our listeners your initial reaction the first time you laid eyes on the video, and just the first thing you blurted out or what you did, because you know what that means, right? I mean, the minute you see this, you're like, oh my gosh, well, we're not going to be talking about, the football team this week. So give it to us. When did you first see the video?
Yeah, I got onto Twitter Saturday night. I was just at home watching some of the college football that day, and I open up my Twitter to see what's going on, and I see that Urban Meyer's trending, and I'm like, what did he do? Like, that's the first thought I had in my head, right? Like, it's not uncommon for Urban to be trending, so what did he say? What is somebody saying about Urban that he's trending this time? And you pull it up, and that video pops up, and you're like, are we serious right now? I mean, are we serious right now that this is happening? And then the second video comes out, and you get the apology on Monday, and he has to redo the apology because obviously the second video had come out, and discussions among fans about whether how much longer Urban Meyer is going to be the head coach, and fans yelling at other fans about who cares what he does in his personal time, that's between him and his wife, and all that kind of stuff was going on. And it's a story that stretched out through yesterday, at least, where he is still having to address it. It's the first time we had heard from any of the players, with Trevor Lawrence speaking yesterday and Josh Allen speaking to the media yesterday. So it's been 4 or 5 days of this now, of discussing Urban Meyer. And whatever happens on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans, immediately it's going to be attributed to whatever the team reaction is to Urban Meyer. Whether it has anything to do one with the other, who knows? They could win by one, win by 20, lose by one, lose by 20, and most people are going to connect that directly to Urban Meyer and the team's reaction to him this week. And I'm not sure, guys, that it has any effect actually on the football team for this Sunday's game against Tennessee, but there's going to be a connection made either way.
No doubt about it. And it's got to be crazy, right? You guys, the discussion piece on Friday must have been, okay, they let one get away. Like, they should have beaten Cincinnati on Thursday night. It was a good game, but they kind of gave it away. They had an opportunity, especially right before the half, to kind of put Cincinnati away. They did. But you have to be feeling good. Like, okay, this team's going in the right direction. Maybe they're getting they're getting closer. And then, boom, this happens over the weekend, and then you feel like you're miles away from that again. And now you've got to address that. And speaking of addressing, that press conference on Monday that we all watched, I mean, I think you all could have been there shirtless, and I don't know if he would have noticed, because I don't think he looked up at all in that press conference. It was obviously very awkward for him, but what has it been like this week? He's obviously had a couple of press conferences he's had to address this, and you've had players talking, and there's been a lot of national writers that have said stuff about people they've talked to that, that are sources that they haven't named, but this is what they're saying. So what has the dialogue been like on 1010 XL this whole week leading up to this point?
Look, I think different people feel different ways, right? And what I've tried to say this week, for the fans out there who say, none of this matters, why are we talking about it? This is between Urban Meyer and his wife, right? And for fans that are very upset about what happened in that video, for fans that are very upset about Urban Meyer not flying back with the team, for the fans that are upset that he didn't have a team meeting on Monday, that he went into individual group meetings and discussed it with them there and had his first team meeting where he addressed it yesterday with the football team. For everyone who feels however they feel about everything that has happened this week, what I've tried to explain to him is he's trying to get a message across to a room of 53 men plus the coaching staff here in Jacksonville. If you get a group of five people together in Jacksonville this week, there's going to be five different types of opinions about what happened with Urban Meyer last weekend, right? Like, not everyone's going to feel the same way. The whole locker room's not going to feel the same way about Urban Meyer. They're just not. There are going to be players who probably didn't like him much a week ago and like him even less today than they did a week ago, right? And that's understandable for different guys to react different ways. Can they pull together and find a way to break this losing streak? We know if the Jaguars were 4-0 right now, this would be a story, but it wouldn't be the same kind of story. They're 0-4, and as you mentioned, last Thursday night they had an opportunity against Cincinnati where from week one to week four, this was a football team that had gotten better every week. One, two, three, four. Had a chance to beat Arizona, let it get away from them. Should have beat Cincinnati, let it get away from them. Now the Tennessee Titans are coming in with the Jaguars on a 19-game losing streak, and it felt like, okay, let's find a way to put it together, continue to get better week to week. There's been virtually no time for that kind of discussion on the radio this week because it's been all about Urban Meyer. Today we finally discussed the Titans for the first time really all week in the two-hour show that I do every day, and I was relieved to be able to discuss the football game this weekend even a little bit as opposed to all this other stuff because, as I said, I'm not sure how much effect ultimately it has on Sunday with anything that's going to happen in this football game between the Jags and the Titans. But there are certainly going to be conclusions drawn based on how the game plays out as to how much effect it had on this football team.
Yeah, I'm with you on the players things, Tony. I've said that this week. But I do wonder, well, I mean, you know, I don't poo-poo when I, you know, Mike Silver and people that have done covered the league for a long time and they put out stuff.
Certainly, yeah.
Do you believe, like, you know, you're around it, you're around these players that, you know, that they, some of them were laughing, you know, after he delivered, you know, he talked to them, and when he left the room, they're laughing. Or, I mean, have you gotten a vibe that some of these players, I mean, you just said some are on board, some are not. I mean, that's only natural probably with any coach, but in this case, you've got a guy coming from the college ranks to the NFL talking to, you know, grown men, and in some cases, in a lot of cases, making millions of dollars. So did you ever pick up on that there was maybe some weirdness between head coach and players before this incident, or no?
Nothing that I've seen, you know, in the time that I can be around the team speaks to that. I know talking to some people who cover the team, we had Mike DiRocco on the show for a couple hours this morning. He covers the Jaguars for ESPN. And, you know, we've talked to different people who have been around the football team, and I don't think what Michael Silver wrote is wrong. I certainly think that there was a player who told him what Michael Silver says he was told by a player on the team. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's more than one player who feels that way about Urban Meyer at this point in his tenure here in Jacksonville. I, you know, thinking about it through the week, I personally wasn't a big fan of the Urban Meyer hire when they made it. Now, that's me personally. Now, once he gets hired by the team, you know, you wish success for the city and the franchise, so you want it to work out. But if you were going to ask me last week or 2 weeks ago, my answer about whether it's going to end good or bad for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville was probably going to be the same. I thought it would probably end badly for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville ultimately when everything is said and done. I hope to be wrong, as I hoped to be wrong when they made the announcement that Urban Meyer was coming to Jacksonville. But especially this week, it's hard to fight against some of that stuff that's going on. I will say, hearing from a guy like Trevor Lawrence, I don't know that there could have been a better spokesperson in the league for a locker room than Trevor Lawrence was yesterday, and having to deal with the questions that he was being asked about his head coach and those kind of things. I tend to believe him when he says the locker room, we're not thinking about any of that. We're trying to get ready to play Tennessee. That's what we're focused on. I tend to believe Trevor when he says it. Does that mean that all 53 guys in the locker room like Urban Meyer at this point? No. I don't think that that's the case, and I wouldn't expect it to be.
Tony Smith is with us from 1010 down in Jacksonville, talking about the sideshow going on with Urban Meyer as the team gets ready for the Titans. So, Tony, do you think Shad Khan considered at all maybe suspending him for a game, doing anything stronger than the statement that he made?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. And obviously that was a big part of the discussion Monday going into Tuesday when Shad Khan released the statement that he did. Shad Khan said when we were going into this offseason that he was going to be more involved than he had been previously with decisions when it came to coaching and these different types of things, that he's a believer in Urban Meyer. I tend to just take Shad at his word. What he said, I think, is what he meant. How much pressure is there on Urban Meyer? Look, this team is 0-4, and now they're dealing with this. There's an immense pressure on Urban Meyer to get this thing turned around. There would have been pressure regardless of what happened earlier this week. But now you pile that on top of it, and, yeah, I think you can't allow the team to continue losing, and now there's this big bullseye on a guy that already had one on him. From a lot of the national media and the way that people were talking about this football team anyway. I don't think most of what was being said about Urban before this week really hit any kind of points in Jacksonville, right? Like, people complained about the hire of Chris Doyle. It was one day. He never got to address the players. It was a bad move. It was dumb. I had to hire him in the first place. We get it. People put the Tim Tebow thing in there. People put the Travis Etienne decision in there. Like, it's all this stuff that I think were non-stories from the beginning. But nationally, they had this momentum, and it continued to build. Now the team's 0-4. They're not finding ways to win football games. And then you add this on top of it. For people who had knives out for Urban in any kind of way, yeah, the knives are going to stay out. And everybody in town is aware of it. There are more people in Jacksonville with the knives out from a fan base perspective than there were a week ago when it came to Urban Meyer, and I can't blame them at this point.
Tony, all of us in this business, you know, you work with media relations people, PR people, et cetera. Also, I think it's interesting down there, a lot of the people that cover the Jaguars, I'm sure, in some form or fashion, covered Urban Meyer when he was the coach at Florida. So you have that status, and of course you have that shield around you a little bit more in the college front. But from a PR standpoint, how do you think, like, once the video happens, it's out, so then you have to decide, how are we handling this? What kind of grade would you give Urban Meyer and the Jaguars for how they've handled it since the scandal came out?
I would say if Urban had the team meeting stuff on Monday and not had to do it again on Wednesday, and then maybe you can walk into a press conference yesterday, because he did have his press conference on Monday where he apologized. He did his coach's show on Tuesday here in Jacksonville. On Wednesday, you could have walked to the podium and said, you know what, I've answered the questions about this. We're on to the Titans. And I wouldn't have even blinked if it had been at that point. But he didn't have the team meeting till Wednesday. That's part of the story going into the press conference yesterday. I think if that had happened, there's no A grade to be had, right? Like, it's just not a story that has that. It's not a happy ending story, you know? Like, it's, there's just no way to get to that point with it. So I'd say probably about a C when everything is said and done. I feel bad for the people down there that are doing the PR and all that. They're not asking for any of this. You know, like, it's just, it's a maelstrom that has nothing to do with them, but they are having to deal with it at this point. And hopefully, you know, they can find a way on the football field to calm some of this down going up against the Titans Sunday.
Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, when he was at Ohio State, we know that there was that whole thing with the assistant coach, and it was, you know, somebody has got to advise. Now, whether he listens to that person or not, somebody's got to go in a room and say, okay, here are the questions that are coming. Be ready. And then, of course, in Gainesville, there were certainly some things that he had to come up. He's no stranger to damage control, firestorms, that kind of thing. I just wonder who his people are that have surrounded him in the Jaguars saying, hey, this is the NFL. This might be a little bit different. This is how you have to handle it. Because I'm with you 100%. I think the goal has to be get this all out there on Monday so you can turn the page to where you say, hey, I've addressed this. We have to, you know, all these questions you're asking me, I answered yesterday. But you're right, it dragged out.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a story that wouldn't be done on Monday, but he could be done talking about it, you know, at least directly in the press conference in the middle of the week. And instead, because of the way that it played out, it went into Wednesday. And look, we'll see if it, again, has any kind of impact for this team going forward. I think it'll be hard to tell, but certainly an embarrassing week for Urban Meyer. And because he is the face of the program here in Jacksonville right now, an embarrassing week for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Talking to Tony Smith, 1010XL, and we haven't asked one question about the game yet, so I'll do that as we get ready for the Titans and the Jags. I heard Trevor Lawrence's interview on radio before the Thursday night game against Cincinnati last week, and he mm-hmm. said that he felt like through, you know, at that point going into the third game that things were getting a little easier for him, or that things were, or going into the fourth game, I guess, that things were getting a little easier for him, that it was starting to slow down, things were starting to make more sense. And I feel like that's showing. I know they haven't won, but do you get that sense that Trevor Lawrence is now settling in as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I really do. And I think you can watch Trevor Lawrence, and he's gotten better every week. I said the team's gotten better every week. Trevor Lawrence has been at the forefront of that each week. And last week had his first turnover-free game, which is a big step in the right direction for Trevor. I think a lot of that had to do with game plan. I don't know what Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, or Urban Meyer, or anybody else on the staff were thinking when they put together game plans for the first couple weeks this year, where they basically ignored that they had James Robinson at running back. They didn't even try to run the ball through the first couple of weeks this year, and we would come on and be like, what are they doing? James Robinson legitimately may be their best player on offense, and they had 2 weeks where they didn't even try to run the football against Houston or Denver in weeks one or two. And finally, in the last couple of weeks, they've come into games and said, you know what, we're going to try to establish a running game. And look, what do you know? They have 2-score leads in both of those games at different points, and it takes the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. I do think he's getting better every week. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he has his best game of the year to this point this week going up against Tennessee. And he is such a calming force for this organization and team right now. He handles all the pressure as we expected from a guy who's had this target on him since he was in high school. He was being talked about as a guy that was eventually going to be the number one overall pick in the draft, that no situation, none of it would be too big for him. And there has been nothing that has happened on the field through the first month of the season here in Jacksonville that gives me any doubt about how great a player Trevor Lawrence is going to be sooner rather than later in this league.
Obviously, Shark and Chenault have been there for a couple of years as receivers, yeah. But Marvin Jones comes in this year. How has he fit thus far?
He's been really good. He was quiet last week, and you have to think that part of that was the injury to DJ Chark early on in the game when he left. He's been put on IR, so he's going to be out for a while. And DJ, the plus thing that he can do is stretch the field, and that allows Marvin Jones to work a little bit more in that intermediate area where he's been so good through the first 3 games this year. So you've got to come up with a different kind of game plan, but the connection that Marvin Jones and Trevor Lawrence had was pretty obvious through the first 3 games this week. I think they'll get back to it a little bit more this week than what we saw last week in this Jaguars offense. Marvin has already played in Daryl Bevel's offense when he was up in Detroit with him the last couple of years, so he understands it, should have it more installed for him than some of the other young wide receivers on this football team early on, and it looked that way, at least early on here in the season, and we'll see if they can get back to that kind of connection this week.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch. Obviously, the big storyline continues to be Urban Meyer. But thanks, as always, Tony, for coming on and discussing some of it with us.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Tony Smith, 1010XL, talks Jags. Always enjoy having him on the show with us. We'll come back. You'll hear a little bit from practice today. We'll also discuss some things. I actually have a stat to throw at these guys about Derrick Henry, and we'll do that when we come back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
If you're looking for a place to hang on Sunday, listen to the pregame show, get you ready for Titans-Jags down in Jacksonville, and then stay and watch the game, got your place, Corner Pub in Bellevue. Yeah, out on the west side of town. 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. is when the pregame show will be going on at Corner Pub in Bellevue. That's located at 8058 Tennessee Highway 100. That's prior to the game. And then you can just stick around and watch the Titans game along with all the other games going on in the National Football League. So a good spot for you to hang out on Sunday. Our NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and, of course, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Before we hear from Derrick Henry, Chase, you said you want to throw out a Derrick Henry stat.
I do. I saw this on Twitter earlier. On NFL on CBS put this out. Since the start of 2019.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing.
Derrick Henry has more rushing yards, 4,077, than each of these entire team totals. There are 17 teams on this list, which is
amazing,
more than half the league.
Yep.
The Broncos, Panthers, Chiefs, Rams, Giants, Texans, Jags, Chargers, football team, Bears, Bengals, Lions, Bucks, Jets, Falcons, Dolphins, and the Steelers.
I also saw in the same realm, I think since 2019, he's rushed, what was it, over 4,000 yards, right?
Yep.
And that the next closest running back in the league is like 1,000 yards behind him?
Yeah, something crazy
in that time
like
frame?
That.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous. Like, nobody's even close.
It's just freakish.
He's also got an opportunity if he gets 150 or more rushing yards, because he's been doing this on the road at a certain clip, like he's going to be in, once again, a category all by himself. Nobody's ever done it. Like, at some point, Derrick Henry's going to keep breaking all these records that nobody's ever done, and, you know, we're going to be sitting here going, like, who's kidding who? Like, he's going to Canton, right? Like,
yeah.
If you're in enough categories by yourself in a league that's been around for 100 years, 100-plus years, you're kind of going to be a Hall of Famer. That's how it works. He's got an opportunity to do that again on Sunday.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, I mean, what's crazy to think now, you know, obviously things could change. There could come a day where, you know, D-Mace or Eddie or somebody like that could get into the Hall of Fame, but he would become really the first true Tennessee Titan to be
good
in the
point.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, good point.
You know, Bruce is in, but Bruce didn't play here all that long. And then there, Randy, I mean, I guess you can claim Randy Moss, but, you know, like the first true Tennessee Titan that would actually get in.
Also, I think it illustrates how the game has changed, how Derrick Henry is a little bit of a throwback relative to the rest of the league. The rest of the league just doesn't run the ball as much. Teams don't run the ball as much. But when you have Derrick Henry, you use him. And the Titans certainly have figured out what they've got. It took a while. Didn't happen overnight.
No. Well, and you wonder.
But since now 2019, they've made a bigger commitment to him. But you can see how the overall touches have skyrocketed, you know, by the end of 2019 on into 2020 and now into 2021. His touches have gone way, way up.
You do wonder, though, if he hadn't sat out. I mean, well, not sat out, but had not been the backup those first 2 years here because DeMarco Murray was here. You know, what does it look like? Is it, you know, is he worn down by now?
That's a good question. Or can you
say it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Right.
Because they were getting production, at least when they were sharing time with DeMarco Murray, they were catching the tail end of DeMarco Murray's career.
Yep.
But his last productive part of his career. He had a really good season. But then I think you can argue that they were a little slow to commit to Derrick Henry when they were using him and Deion Lewis. Because Deion Lewis, they were trying to catch the tail end of his best years because he had really been a good, solid player for the Patriots in the previous couple years, but he just wasn't that player. He had glimpses of it, but it wasn't working real well here. And then it sort of went down from there. But that's what led to them saying, well, let's try this with Derrick Henry.
I'll never forget.
Let's go old school.
Darren, you probably know where I'm going with this. I'll never forget Nick Saban sitting down with you guys, I think it was you two and Derek, at SEC Media Days, and basically just laying out the formula of what you have to do. Yeah, just keep giving Derek the ball. You know, I tried to split time with him when he was here, and it got to the point where I had to keep feeding him the ball because he's going to just get better and better.
As the game goes along, he just gets better and better. Nick Saban said it. I mean, we were sitting there at the table with him at SEC Media Days, and it was like, Also, going into that Seattle week, back in week two, if you remember, the question was asked in one of the press conferences we were airing live, and it prompted me to go, he does have a lot of success on the road. What does it actually look like? And remember, we've had all those talks about how good he's been on the road since then. He went for 182 yards in that game. He went for 157 against the Jets. His two highest totals this year are the two road games. It is hard to believe. And then we talked about all the road success that he had last year, which was far greater than at home. So going back to last year, the final game in Houston, he goes for 250. And so we know that's three games in a row that he's gone for over 150 or more. And then, of course, the Green Bay game was the lone game all of last year that he didn't rush for 100 yards, and that was 98. But Jacksonville, the game before that, road game, 215. At Indy, 178. At Baltimore, 133. At Cincinnati, 112. At Minnesota, 119. At Denver to start the season, 116. The success, and so the 150 marker, so he's got the opportunity, I think, so to go four games in a row, dating back to last season, of going 150 or more on the road, and I think he would be the first, I'm pretty sure that was the stat that I saw, he would be the first running back that has strung together four road games that he went for 150 or more rushing. It's amazing.
Mm.
And it could be a pick six question, just saying.
Huh, little tease there. I like it.
Well, with that being said, let's hear what Derrick Henry had to say today after practice.
What do you remember about Yulee and where you're raised and why is it so important to you that you're repping here today?
It's my hometown where I grew up. All my family's there, friends. This is home.
Do you play there? Do you have the same list of ticket requests? They get them every year, or do you have some new ones that pop on the list from time to time?
There's always a lot. So I try to get out of the way as quick as I can. So I ain't got to worry about it later during the week.
Has it grown over the last 2-3 years, that ticket list?
It varies. The way the pandemic is, it's kind of hard, but it's a lot of requests, so I try to get out of the way.
You play there so many times now, but is there something special about going back there to play, for you, or is it just another game at this point?
It's always fun and special when, all my family can come watch me, having that home presence again, being back home, and, just having my family there and, having them watch me play is always nice.
Who got you that? Somebody custom make that one for you? Or?
I got sitting this a while back and, just looking in the closet, I was like, I should wish a good time to wear it now, so I just wore it today.
Will do well. What kind of jumps out on tape with their defense?
I think they play hard really against the run. I think they played a really good game against Cincinnati. Especially in that first half, of just stopping the run, being very physical, getting to the ball. I got a lot of new guys, that play very well in that system. So I think just take pride on stopping the run and doing things well. Make sure no explosive plays happen at all in the run game.
Is there anything you're doing different this year just as far as, the recovery process with the – I know the workload is something you kind of laugh off, but is there anything that you're doing different just to be able to recover from that workload?
No, I'm really just doing the same things and keeping my body ready. Haven't really changed up too much and just continue those same things. You guys be quiet, please. Thank you.
How does your routine go? Like, is there a lot of, hot tub, cold tub, that type of
thing? Cold tub, hot tub, massage, ART, dry needling, cryo, the whole nine. Anything I can do to get my body ready, I'm going to try it.
Where do you get, the ideas to do? Like, cold tub, that's general. Like, everybody does that. Some of the other things you mentioned are kind of unique.
Yeah, really, this asking guys, meeting people And then, you know, my younger days, asking the vets, the guys that played at high level, what they did to keep their body ready and just soaking that all up and, you know, kind of putting it into what, you know, I do as far as my recovery process.
Was there anything, like, crazy that you got from advice-wise, like something crazy that they told you to do? You're like, nah, man.
No, yeah, I got a couple of crap I won't mention, but yeah, I did. So,
in terms of carries or whatever, what's the thing on your body that you feel like you're most kind of recovering? It maybe takes a couple of days because there's so much that goes into that. But is it the legs? Is it the
arms? I just make sure, you know, I feel good enough to be able to pick my daughter up in the morning, yeah, when she gets up. So that's my main thing. But yeah, you're sore all over, you know, especially in our position because, you know, you take so many hits. But like you said, just about the recovery process, getting your body back under you, just you can come out here and do it again.
There have been some times this season, Derek, do you think that you've run even more physical than you have in the past in terms of maybe hitting guys, you know, lowering the shoulder, you know, lowering the pads, that kind of thing? It seems like maybe there's been a little bit more. I didn't know if that was the case. Or...
I think me just trying to finish runs. I know you kind of switch it up for a little bit. Everybody's expecting the stiff arm and you lower the shoulder. Maybe you push a little bit forward and, you know, get some more out of that play. But trying to switch it up as much as I can. You know, everybody's ready to break the stiff arm down. So,
is it hard for, a guy your height to lower the pad sometimes and, you know, when DBs are going low for you?
It can get a little skinny in there, especially when they're knifing in. I can only bend so much going between the line, but try to get as low as I can to move the power forward.
You guys feeling a sense of urgency coming off a loss, going on the road playing a divisional opponent this week?
I think it's just focus on the things we need to focus on. Continue to get better as the week goes on, carrying into Jacksonville on Sunday's division game. You know, which is always a big game for us, and you know, just playing our style of football, and you know, going out there and trying to go win a game.
You guys lose a game, sort of off John's question. Is there an attitude of, hey, let's have a sense of urgency, we lost, or is that not even spoken because you feel like you have to have that every week?
Yeah, because I mean, of course, because you know you want to be better, so you kind of have to have that sense of urgency of wanting to be better, wanting more. On all three phases, and if you don't, then you know what are you in this business for? So, I know a lot of guys, you know, take that challenge of, you know, having a sense of urgency, wanting to get in the drives, wanting to finish, wanting to be better, and all the things that we need to be better at, and that just has been the main focus point.
Is that a week by week thing, like every week, or is that something that gets bigger after a loss?
Oh, week by week, you know, you never want to, you know, stay the same. Even if you do good or bad, you always focus on what can I improve on? What can I do that I didn't do the last week? What can I be better at, even if it's good or even if it's bad? Just focus on improving in every aspect of your game as a team, as collectively, and I think a lot of guys do that every day.
How much does it help you in the running game in general, Derek, when the passing game is working well, when you're getting some downfield shots and kind of keeping things balanced, I guess?
Yeah, it's always fun when everything's clicking. You know, we got, you know, the offense going, you know, and we're getting the drives, finishing drives with points. You know, it's always fun. I think everybody can see it. We all can feel it.
Nice to see McNichols kind of get things going in the last game. It helps out a lot, especially in that receiving game, which you guys both have racked up some numbers there.
Yeah, he was balling. He took advantage of his opportunities, and I wait to see what he does this game, too.
There you go, Derrick Henry talking about their matchup down in Jacksonville. It's pretty interesting. I went back and I looked at the numbers. This is going to be his sixth trip. And of course, they were talking the first questions. He was the shirt that he was repping today out of practice. Of course, he's going back to his hometown. That's where he came from. And so it's a big deal when he goes to Jacksonville. And, you know, he just talked about having a lot of ticket requests. Last season, he had the 26 carries for 215 yards down in Jacksonville. The other five trips to Jacksonville, his rookie year, he had 16 carries. Second year, 14 carries. Third year, 18 carries. Fourth year, 17 carries. And then last year's 26 for 215. Of those other four trips to Jacksonville, I just told you, 14, 16, 14, 18, and 17 carries. Any idea what was his highest output game yards wise?
The rookie.
How many
year,
of those were 100-yard games?
The rookie, none of them. The rookie year was a good. He had a good game, I remember, but he wasn't a big featured guy. I think he had a nice second half in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the most have always been here.
So you don't think he's – last year was the only time he ever went over 100 in Jacksonville?
I think so.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That sounds right, yeah.
That's right.
The 238 game was
it's
here.
Actually – he's really – he's had low output in Jacksonville. I mean for Derrick Henry. I mean, just think about these – I mean, 2019, 17 carries, 44 yards. I mean
– 2019, was that – I think that was late in the season when they – was that – which one was the game where Marcus Mariota broke his leg?
Well, that wasn't 2019.
And that was – was that there?
That was – that was down there. Christmas.
Yeah.
That would have been
2017.
17. Yeah. 17. He had 14 carries for 92 yards in 2017.
Hmm. Yeah. So again,
that was his best output, 92 yards.
But they were behind, so they probably didn't run as much. That was a nightmare. That was a nightmare.
Something interesting. So Andrew from Dover on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com, said it would be amazing to see Henry break the single game rushing record this weekend, especially being where he's from. And that kind of made me think of, you know, that's one thing we haven't – he's had these 200-yard, you know, over 200-yard games, but 296 is Adrian Peterson's record. And that hasn't come up, but I feel like that could be certainly on the list
gettable.
Of things he could do.
Gettable, yeah. Well,
he could get a 300-yard game.
Well, this is the other theme of the questions. Like, there's always the sense of urgency, all that stuff. I get that. That no matter who's fielding the questions, you always get that. To me, everybody's answer is going to be, no, we don't have a sense of urgency ever. No. You know, come on.
Losing to the Jets, no big deal. Everything's fine.
Everybody's going to say, yes, we have a sense of urgency. But I think some of the questions about the workload, I know he rolls his eyes. And he's like, recovery, yeah, I do all that stuff. And the Sports Illustrated article, if you want the details that Teron was sort of trying to get him to talk about some, we had the guy on that talked about it. He does the cryogenic. He does a lot of breakthrough, cutting-edge stuff to try to recover. But it illustrates what's going on with the team right now. He's all they've got.
Yep.
Right now, everything is riding on him lifting the rest of the team while they try to figure out the injuries and the defense on the offensive line, the pass protection. They have got a list of major issues that they're trying to weather the storm. I think when they've got everybody right, this is a really good team. But right now, it's like, Derek, put the team on your back and get us through this time until we can get some of this stuff straight. You can hear it in the questions, and I think everybody feels the same way. What else have you got besides him right now? Almost nothing. Harold Landry's having a nice year. Like, really? Like, what have you got going for you as a team other than him?
Well, we know
nothing.
The answer. Right?
I mean,
we
go
know
down
the
list. Special teams, punter, kicker.
No, nothing.
Secondary, passers.
Nothing.
There's nothing elite.
He is it.
0.0.
I mean, it's just what it is. Right now, that entire team, they're depending on Derrick Henry being very productive Sunday.
Right now, they are.
To give them a chance to win.
We might have this discussion in 4 or 5 weeks, and they've figured some of this stuff out. But at the moment, he is carrying.
No, Willie, it is not a stretch. Look, if he has 2019 numbers, if he goes 17 for 44, I'm just telling you right now, they're losing.
Yep.
Well,
they are losing.
Worse than that. If he,
for sure.
If he were to pull a hammy or you know, one of the injuries that – do the list. If he's on that list and he can't play for a week or two, think about where they'd be then.
I'm just saying if he doesn't have a huge
that's why the workload
day,
questions are not out of line. The workload questions have to continue to be asked because he may be superhuman, but somewhere in here, going to that well, you'd rather not do it. Like I know Todd Downing was asked a series of questions about that this morning, too, when he took the podium.
Well, and he said nobody has said anything about Derek's carries in my headset yet.
Right.
Know?
But we know if you sit there and it's 95 degrees every day in the summer and you crank your air conditioning full throttle to make it 60 degrees, it's going to work for a while and you're going to feel nice and cool. But eventually
it's gonna
you're going to be calling
But what do you do?
Man.
Are you going to stop?
That's the thing.
But you're not going to – right. You're not going to turn it off and be like, hey, I need to preserve so this thing doesn't go bad.
But if you go full throttle, like my daughter, every time I turn on my car in the air conditioning's full blast, I know she was the last driver because she puts it all the way at like 60 and cranks it all the way to the highest level. I'm like, well, Evie's been driving the car. But like there's a median, right? There's a little bit of a balance that has to go on. If you can, like you pick your spots when you go 60. And I think right now they know they have to lean on Derrick Henry. But I'm hoping they get to a point where it's not so urgent right now.
All right, we'll come back. Right, put a bow on Thursday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase next. All right, let's find out who's listening to the show. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show is presented by Curation CBD. Products curated for life. Predators have made several roster moves this week. You put players on waivers, you hope they clear waivers, and then you send them back to Milwaukee. That's typically how it works. Sometimes, every once in a while, players get picked up by another team, and you lose them. The Predators lost a player to the Minnesota Wild this week. They were put on waivers. They didn't clear waivers. They were claimed by the Wild, and they're now on the Minnesota Wild roster. Who was that player? And if you can answer that correctly to Elijah, you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Predators and Hurricanes' final preseason game. That'll be Saturday afternoon at Bridgestone Arena. That's a 3 o'clock puck drop heard right here on 102.5 The Game. So call in at 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Answer that correctly to Elijah Campbell, and you're going to go to the preseason game on Saturday. Good luck. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. That's an easy one, right? It's gettable.
Yeah, no question. Somebody will snap that up in a hurry.
I would think so.
So I saw a stat on Twitter, throwing out more Twitter stats, and I'm trying to check this, but Mike Vrabel, as a head coach, is 0-4 against rookie quarterbacks.
That is really crazy.
Yes. And
so do you know the list?
Well, I'm compiling the list.
Okay, so it's Zach Wilson.
I think I know the list. Yes. So Zach Wilson is one of them.
And rookie quarterback
Joe Burrow last year.
Yep. Joe Burrow. There you go.
There you go.
One. Okay. That's two.
And then the other two. I know I'm right about one, and I'm just checking to make sure I'm right about this other one. Yes, I am.
Okay, hold on. Let's see. Was there one in Houston? No.
Oh, wait.
No, let's see. Indy? No.
I'm trying to think.
Did they lose to Gardner Minshew?
Yes.
Yes.
He did lose to Gardner Minshew.
The stash.
Okay,
so that's
I have not
in the rain. In the rain in Jacksonville, that was one of the games that you were talking about, Darren, where Derrick Henry really didn't get much going. They got behind so quick in that game, they couldn't get anything happening.
I haven't found the fourth one yet. I thought it was Kyle Allen, but that was the second year.
No, it wasn't Kyle Allen.
Because he was with Carolina.
Denver's gone through a lot of quarterbacks. Did they trot out a rookie quarterback?
He lost to Flacco.
Flacco
was
played
starter.
That game. The 16-0, the last straw for Marcus Mariota. Jay Cutler went down in the Dolphins.
You know what? Josh Allen.
No.
Yes.
Uh-uh. Yes.
Yes. Josh Allen. The Nick Williams game.
What?
The Nick Williams game.
This was 2018.
The Nick Williams game.
Vrabel's first year.
The Nick Josh Williams Allen. Game.
Oh. Yeah, the last game in a Titans uniform for Nick Williams?
Yep. Good call.
2018 Josh Allen. I was going there, but I was like, no, I don't think
so. 10 of 19 for 82 yards is what Josh Allen did in that game.
Was that the 13-12 game?
Wasn't it really low scoring?
Yes. Yeah, that's why the Nick Williams play was so huge, because
that
was a touchdown. Yeah.
Wow. All right, good stuff. All right, that'll do it for
0-4
our show.
0-4 against rookies. Maybe he's due to win one.
Oh, that is not a stat you want to be attached to. That will do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Continue to be safe. We want you to close out the week with us tomorrow morning. starting at 10 a.m. We'll be at Centennial Sportsplex. We look forward to talking to you then. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.